All right, here to warm everything up is Scott Reed, CTV political analyst, former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin. Good to have you, sir. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. That's me, a talking quilt.
There you go. Umar Zamir acquitted yesterday afternoon. And I think a lot of people have a hard time reconciling the fact that, yes, on the one hand, you have a police officer who was brutally killed in the line of duty. And on the other, you have a guy who was not actually criminally responsible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have that much trouble reconciling it. And that doesn't mean that I'm glib about it or that I don't have enormous sympathy for the officer and his family. But I think it was an accident. I think it was a tragic accident. And who cares what I think? That's what the evidence and the deliberations concluded. So I do think politically, there's a hanging thread from this trial, and it's not the decision to press ahead by the Crown, which looks like it was a mistake, but maybe that was an understandable mistake because, you know, the Crown felt that a police officer died in the line of duty in an aggressive situation. But I think for the police chief to come out yesterday with a statement saying, on the heels of this, after all that's come out, and the way that this case has come to be seen and understood, for the police chief to say, I was looking for a different outcome, I think that's a puzzling thing to say. I understand that he needs to back his officers. I understand that his sympathies are going to lie first and foremost with the officer whose life was lost. But to say, I wanted a different outcome means, in spite of the evidence that we've all heard, in spite of some of the uncomfortable questions about testimony by police officers that seem to be contradicted by objective evidence, the police chief still thinks that the just thing would have been to have this person put in prison for the rest of their life, or for 20 years at least. I think that's a difficult thing to defend if you're the chief of police, and I don't think he should have said it.
Yeah, I like this chief, but I need to hear more from him. And I agree with your analysis about the Crown, because I know this sounds kind of upside down, but I think what we needed here was a trial and an acquittal. And I think had the Crown said there's nothing there, the reaction would, people would have gone nuts.
I think that's right. However, you and I are sitting in front of microphones. You know, this man and his family had to live through this, you know, years of uncertainty and being charged and being on the front pages of headlines and the front line of broadcasts. And that's a pretty harrowing experience. And I'm suspecting that it's one that your life doesn't just pick up and take off from immediately. So it's not without consequence.
Black Creek Pioneer Village announced that they're going to take the Pioneer out of their name, and they're going to play more to indigenous, or there's going to be more inclusion of stories of indigenous people and Black Canadians. Not a bad idea, but I know people are going to squawk.
People are going to squawk. I definitely think that the programming choices make sense. Large portions of history are just ignored, and now all the, you know, anti-woke crowd gets all wound up. A part of me sort of goes, So what does that mean? Does that alter our notion of what, you know, the status of the word pioneer means? Is that an exclusive term? Is that a colonialist term? I kind of put a question mark on that. But I, even more than that, though, and I find myself feeling this all the time, it's the reaction to it, right? It's the, the Toronto Sun's got a hop on it, write four columns, blaze it across. Oh my God, let's get the rage machine. Look, white folk, the woke are taking away something from, nothing's being taken away, man. Nothing's being taken away. You know, calm your pants. We're not, like, the world isn't on fire. You're still on top, 50-year-old white guy. Guess what? You're still on top. That drives me crazy. I think it's legitimate to say, so what's the deal with the word pioneer? Have we come to some collective decision on it? But that, you know, it's just the unthinking, text-boardy outrage of this stuff drives me mental.
Okay, let's keep moving here. There was a young person, a teenager in life-threatening condition after three teens got on top of a GO train. And I have to imagine it might have been a signal beam or something, but one of them was struck and probably in the head. And it's just, when I reflect on this, I don't want to pull one of those kids today, but people do the stupidest things on camera because they hope that it's going to get them attention on the internet.
Yeah. And, you know, The number one most important portion of the sentence is 15. Like, 15-year-olds do stuff like this. They do stupid things like this. And for the love of God, don't. You know, my son will be turning 15. One of my sons will be turning 15 this summer. And I look at this story and I just tremble thinking, my God, you know, might he all wound up with his buddies one night, go, hey, let's do this. Yeah, come on, it'll be cool. It is not going to be cool. And I know I sound like an old man, but my God, that kid is laying in a hospital and his family doesn't know if he's going to live or not. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know that you can change human nature. And, you know, I don't know if it falls on Metrolinx or TTC to put up better posting or whatever. My guess is that's not what this is about. Yeah. My guess is that people scramble over signs and fences. They always have and always will.
Well, not only that, but I mean, if you put up a sign that says, do not ride on top of the train, I mean, it's, I don't think that's going to stop a bunch of stunters. A poll says that Canadians would prefer to have Justin Trudeau organize a party, but they'd prefer Pierre Poilievre handle the maps if they're on the road. First of all, there's a degree of arcana there. But anyway, what do you think?
Well, you know, this is an interesting poll. It's a battery of questions by my buddy David Coletto from Abacus. And what he's really trying to get at is, what are the underlying perceptions people have of these guys as leaders? And what does that tell us? And his analysis was almost across the board, what emerged is, oh, maybe we see Trudeau as sociable, even likable on a personal basis, but we've come to perceive Poilievre as a problem solver. I don't know if that's accurate. I think it's part and parcel of the broader conservative strategy, which is, and you see it across the world in democracies right now, present him as the strong man, and problem solver is part of that. Things are busted. I'm going to knit them back together. By the way, if in the course of things getting busted, you felt like you took a step back or maybe some of your power and your handle on things got lost its grip, I'm going to return it. That's the unstated promise. And so I think that's what it's really getting at. But any way you look at it, if you're Trudeau, these are not positive numbers. By the way, one of the questions he tested, who would you most rely upon for solving a panic room? What kind of question is that? Who even thinks of that? Like, am I going to pick a prime minister on the basis of who could get us out of a panic room, into a panic room? I don't even understand what the hell that means.
Well, you mean one of those mystery rooms where they lock you in. All I can tell you is Jessie Lorraine, who used to produce this show, you may remember her, extraordinarily good at reasoning and very good at observing things. And so she and her family were put in one of those puzzle rooms or whatever the heck it is. And everybody's looking around trying to figure out clues. She goes, there's a horse in a picture over there. There's a statue of a horse over there. They pick up the statue of the horse, and there's a clue underneath. And she just kept doing that all the way through.
Man, I'd be hopeless. I would need a pail for my own urine, which I would assume I'd soon have to drink because I'd be trapped there forever.
There are posters going up, and who knows if they're absolutely serious, but the message is they're encouraging people in the month of May. They've set a date, and they're telling people, go steal from Loblaws. And, I mean, there's two things here. One is the anger at grocery stores, and the other is something you brought up last week, which is, I mean, we've got four major chains, but everybody hates Loblaws.
Yeah. And, you know, my attitude is I do go old white man on this. No. You know, there are going to be instances, and maybe I will have a tweak of empathy, perhaps a little bit more than our pal Jerry, for someone who, you know, due to destitute conditions, finds himself grabbing food from a grocery store. But as a matter of political organization, yeah, just go and steal. That's it. Break the law. No, it's not justifiable, and it's an invitation to break the law, and that's dumb. Don't do it.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great day.
That's Scott Reed, and he was on the Morning Brief, obviously.